In the past, the conflict was between country and country. So what we've seen lately is the growing of the radical Islamic movements and the creation of terrorist cells. We saw them really to a tremendous extent way back in 2002 when Israel was experiencing suicide bombers daily, restaurants, buses. Then, of course, we saw the rise of the Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, and then gradually the rise of Hamas in the Gaza Strip. I think we view these as cells of Iran and in line with Al-Qaeda. So the situation sort of changed from a conflict of nation against nation to a conflict of a nation against terrorism.
Now, sometimes in cases of war or disagreement, people will separate the population of a country from the actions of the political leaders. And for instance, many people outside of America may disagree with actions by the Bush administration, but they may have affinity for the American people or American culture. Can you parse these attitudes between Israeli leadership, Israeli citizens, Hamas, and the Palestinian civilians on the ground? Can you explore that a little bit for us?
Okay. I think a good example of the voice of the people in Israel can best be exhibited by the fact that we seem to have elections every 2 years. They say that if you have two Israelis, you've got 10 opinions. It seems that we're changing our government democratically very often. That is not the case in the Gaza Strip, which I don't think is also the case in most Arab countries. You don't really have a democracy. The leaders are not really elected by the people, and if they are, there's usually just one party running. What we see happening in Gaza today is basically a civilian population held hostage by its leaders. Leaders who are really not concerned for their people. Not only are they not concerned for their people, they use their people. They use their people as human shields. They use their people to protect themselves, and they use their people. It hurts me to really say this, okay? It's difficult for me to say. The greater the casualty numbers on their side is the way their propaganda works to create sympathy for their cause.
So you're saying they're intentionally using...
Absolutely.
Using civilian casualties for,
yes,
for political purposes.
Yes, and I think that the way we can demonstrate that is I would like to ask the Hamas leadership, why are there no bomb shelters for the civilian population? The leaders are certainly in bomb shelters, and that's where they've been since the beginning of Israel's operation. I think the people must understand that the reason the death toll on the Israeli side is so low is because Israel has made provisions to protect their population. We have bomb shelters. We have a law, and it says that anybody building a home must build a fortified room within that home that can be used for protection. Israel has gone to great extent to protect their civilian population. And my big question to the Hamas, if I could find one of their leaders to confront, would be, why did you not protect your civilian population?
What kind of feelings do you find among Israeli civilians toward those living in Gaza?
I truly believe that the majority, and you know, you always have your exceptions, okay? We have them everywhere. But I really believe that the majority of Israeli civilians sympathize with the Palestinian people. They feel that their leadership has used them. Their leadership has taken advantage of them and has not provided for them and has not done anything in the best interest of the people. They've always done what's in the best interest of the leadership. And their hatred for Israel is so great, and I'm speaking of Hamas, that it's simply taken over. It's above everything else.
Does this latest military action in Gaza make you feel safer?
I certainly hope that when the objectives are achieved, that I will feel much safer.
The objectives being what?
The objectives being basically twofold, but I like to throw in a third myself. And that number one is to cease the firing of missiles into southern Israel. Number two, to stop the smuggling of arms from Egypt into Israel. And I like to throw in number three, we'd like our soldier back. Gilad Shalit is an Israeli soldier that 2.5 years ago was kidnapped by the Hamas in an attack on an army outpost. The Red Cross has had no access to him. No one has had absolutely any access to him to know whether he's well or whether he's injured or whether he's being fed or whether he's being provided for. And so I would like to see the Israelis include that as a priority also for the ceasefire.
Now, you're in a part of the world that historically has been riddled with conflict beyond right. Just the last 8 years. For you, for your family, why continue living there?
Well, I've been there 30 years. I was brought here by the Birmingham Jewish Federation to tell my story. And I still feel the same way that I felt in the beginning 30 years ago. And that is that I need to be where I can make a difference. I'm a person who has to feel that what he's doing might be producing change, might be influencing people. And again, I think it's just my personality to be where I feel I can make a difference. It's my home. It's where I raise my children. And it's where I feel I can do the best work.